The Buffalo Sabres have hired back head coach Lindy Ruff, and the Bills gear up for the 2024 NFL Draft. All of this and more on this edition of the Buffalonian Podcast. All right, let's go. We are back with the Buffalonian Podcast. I'm Joe Calley. As always, I'm joined by none other than Dom Loss. And Dom, Lindy Ruff is the Sabres' new head coach. Before we get into this a little bit here, I'd like to resurface a video from the early 2000s, okay? You may have seen it floating around Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. We're bringing a Buffalo band up on the Buffalo-based band, you could say, where they started. Better Days, there was a hype video made in the early 2000s here. Lindy's a big part of it. The Slugs, the Goat Heads, the whole ordeal. If you're listening on audio, there's some good Sabres highlights in here if you do want to listen. If not, it's about 4 minutes long, so you can skip 4 minutes into the future here, time travel, and get past it. But if you're watching on video, feel free to watch with us. Better Days, here we go.
Yeah. This is the only job I ever wanted. And number two, this is the only place I ever wanted to be. From my lips to your ears. Thanks for listening.
Glenn Miller, Thomas Granite Town. I know how they feel. I feel their pain at the same time. And it's hard. It's hard right now. But I think better days are right around the corner.
I like the Sabres. Coach prays a lot. We'll be back with a Sabres Stanley Cup victory in just a hot second.
There we go. Look at that. Way back in the day. Thank you, Lindy.
The return.
The return. It's here. The return of the vibes, more like the return of Lindy Ruff. That's what's going on right now. Bringing some vibes back.
I knew you were
going
to say the return of the vibes.
Yeah, but it's a past episode title. We got to plug.
It was what's it called on the bingo card. Return of the Joe says return of the vibes.
It's the free space in the middle.
Free space is just free space.
I haven't played bingo in a long time. I'm kind of out on it, but
I mean,
I only play bingo on cruises.
We're 21.
We can play boozy bingo now. Anyway, Lindy Ruff's back on the Sabres.
How did we get on that?
I don't know. It's time to get off of it, though.
You were the one that jumped on, so yeah.
Here we go. I know we talked about it last episode, the prospect of it happening, and I was the one who was a little less confident.
Skeptical.
Yes. There we go. Which I still, you know, it happened. Like, I'm not going to sit here and trash it. Like, he was one of the more, he was, if not the most successful head coach in this recent Sabres tenure here. And it's just like, you look back at it, and if you can look past it being a nostalgic thing, which kind of I was worried about it being, because everybody's like, oh, we bring him back, we're going. He seems to have the right attitude about it. He's ready to come in with these young guys. He said he's humbled by the opportunity that he's getting. That was a long press conference with him and Kevin Adams.
50 minutes.
Yeah, it was a long one. So there's a lot of good clips in there. They ask him who the starting goalie is. He's like, I got three letters for you, UPL. That was the mic drop moment right there. Like, you know, he goes in and the security guy's like, hey, we got you in the system. He's like, can you get me a photo from 79 or something like that? You know, it's the vibes are there.
Did you see him in the Go Hood jacket too?
No, I didn't see that.
You should look it up. It looks pretty sick.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll look it up. Yeah. But listen, I still will have my second thoughts, I guess, until they play. Am I excited they found a coach and it is a successful coach like Lindy Ruff? Sure. Like, I'm not going to downplay it there, but they boosted ticket sales either way. I think that's the moral of the story here, you know.
that is true, but yeah. I think there's like three like main takeaways to come out. One, mm-hmm. Yes, I think nostalgia had a play in it. I mean, Kevin M said nostalgia did have a play in it. I think having a guy that has a known track record of having success in Buffalo matters. Obviously, as you alluded to on the last ready, ticket sales probably stabilize at least. You know, we talked about the end of the season, what do they have to sell? And now they have something to sell, right? Mm-hmm. They have Lindy's return behind the bench.
Yeah.
So nostalgia has a play in it, and you could look at it as a positive or a negative because of maybe you don't like, Lindy and didn't want him back as coach. Maybe you think this is maybe not the move that they should be doing. It's just for ticket sales. I also think nostalgia has a good play in it for the players in the organization in itself. Like, this is a losing organization.
Mm-hmm.
These players, the only thing they've done in the NHL is lose, which is unfortunate to say. But having a guy that's the fifth most winningest coach in the entire NFL.
NHL. You always cross him. It's okay.
I always cross. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Second most active behind Paul Maurice. I think he's only like five games behind him, too. So, having a guy that's had success in Buffalo that knows what it's like. He talked about in 2006 with the arena shaking. I don't know if that's because of the fan noise or the poor quality of the arena, but
well, I mean, we're getting a new roof and Jumbotron, so that'll be interesting to see. He'll get to see some improvements made.
Some improvements have been made since his last his departure. But yeah, I think that definitely has a role, but that could help the players as well. I think the second biggest takeaway is Lindy. I think there's a misconception around Lindy that he was just kind of garbage ever since he's left Buffalo. Like, he turned the Stars around. The Stars were a losing organization, turned them around, made the playoffs with them, had some success with them, obviously got let go. He He's won two, another gold medal of Team Canada, has played as coach internationally, was the assistant coach for some solid Ranger teams. And then the Devils, they just won 110 points two seasons ago. Kind of a similar team to what the Sabres are now. And, I mean, it's clear that goaltending did him in. I think, yeah, is there some other stuff? Sure. But the underlying numbers have been good with Lindy. And Lindy's... I guess this is my confusion, is that Lindy's an offensive coach. Like, he has skill, but he adds discipline to the skill,
which is what the Sabres have been truthfully looking for this whole time. Yeah,
he's going to add accountability, add discipline. He wants to play the fast rush offense, which the Sabres are best at. But I think he's also going to add some defensive structure and responsibility and discipline. So that the players understand when and where they could do it, and it's not hesitation like it was last year, I feel like.
Yeah.
And then the third reason, I think it is okay to be... upset's not the correct term, but maybe a little confused how quick this took.
Yeah.
I would personally think that this process started more than a week ago.
Yeah.
Before Granato fired.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, they, so, you know, Kevin, they're close. You know, they worked on the same staff.
Lindy Ruff lives in Clarence.
Yeah.
So
he could walk. I mean, not really, but he was a walk away.
I would assume that this process started months ago, where he started reaching out to people and kind of getting a vibe. Do I think he talked to 10 people? Sure. Do I think he had serious conversations with 10 people? No.
No.
I think maybe there was two to three other guys that, maybe four that he had serious conversations about maybe contract or whatever, and he just came back to Lindy. Who those people are, we don't know. So I guess that would be the only thing. It was like, you would maybe want this process to be a little longer. But listen, it's cool with the fans. It's definitely cool with the players. I mean, you see Alex Tuck's reaction.
Yeah, we got a barefoot Alex Tuck in
the... I think the media likes it.
Yeah, media loves it.
And also, he's a qualified candidate. He's actually a good candidate. It's not like a retread where it's like you're not... qualified for this role, like Marv Levy being the general manager of the Bills. And
right. For nostalgia. Yeah.
That was
nostalgia.
Yeah. Lindy Ruff has.
He's more than qualified.
As he alluded to, he's a better coach now than what he was when he was the Sabres coach and when he departed. So,
yeah. Experience gets you there. Yeah. So, it'll be fun. After half the pods this season, just sitting with Don before, do we really have to talk about this team today? After, just this being as streaky as an old pair of tidy whiteys, it's just, I don't get it. And here we are now, and I'm ecstatic to already watch next season just to see, Lindy Ruff back on the bench and see what he bring, what the fan base comes back to KeyBank Center to see,
I have a question,
though. Okay. All right.
Which player do you think is, in trouble's the wrong word, but going to have the hardest time adjusting to Lindy? Because Lindy made a point of saying his biggest tool of motivation is ice time. If you're playing bad, you won't get ice time. If you're making mistakes, you won't get ice time. But if you're playing well, he said this, he believes that your best players should play in the keyest moments.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest face-offs of the game they're taking. You need a face-off they're getting. Empty net situation, you need to put one in. Protecting a lead, you need a goal. He wants his best players playing, but I also think ice time, I think that's where the accountability and discipline is going to come in, is ice time. So who do you think is going to struggle the most maybe with that transition? Because Granato isn't really a bench guy.
No, and Granato, again, gave a lot of passes, it was said, to a lot of the players, and kind of just, there was no disciplinary action. Peyton Krebs, he's going to have a problem.
Whoa.
He's going to have a problem, I'm telling you right now. He the young mistakes, like Kevin Adams said, you got to stop calling them a young team because experience-wise, they're not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Lindy's going to put that into practice for them. And Krebs, I think, has been one of the more questionable parts of that Jack Eichel trade coming back, right? And is he able to play? And he's kind of shown he can, and then he'll make a mistake or two. But I think Lindy will punish him for it, truthfully. I think that's what's going to happen.
Dang.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think it's going to be Cousins, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, that's another good one. Yeah.
Someone said Skinner, and I don't know.
Skinner, I think, will be fine.
Well,
I mean, he
is streaky. It's because of Kruger, and that he doesn't give a crap defensively, and I think that'll piss Lindy off. But
yeah.
At this stage of the game, to maximize Jeff Skinner, we kind of decided to let Jeff Skinner be Jeff Skinner.
Mm-hmm.
But with Cousins, it's kind of, I mean, last year was a disappointing year. There's no other way around it.
Yeah.
And
very disappointing.
It just his puck management skills in the defensive zone, heck, even in offense, in the offensive zone, you know, need to improve. It feels like he was turning the puck over left and right or making poor decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that leads to, like, discipline and, you know, knowing what, you know, not trying to – I just feel like he's trying to, like, dangle everyone, and it's like, just do the easy play, my guy, and
yeah.
get out of the zone or whatever.
No finesse.
So I think the first time he does that and it leads to a chance defensively, it's like – bench.
Yeah.
So I honestly think, and I think that might be the best thing for him, because I think that'll get him to, you know, be a little bit more disciplined in his game. And
yeah, they need that extra little kick of the ball.
Sure. So I think I think eventually, like, that will really help him.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, Don Granato again was rumored to given a lot of passes. So you're in the opposite end of the spectrum now with this guy. So it's going to be interesting to see the team dynamic, I guess.
Sure.
You know,
it's going to be interesting what kind of guys he brings in.
Yeah.
Both as a player perspective, because obviously he has a say now in the roster. We definitely saw Kruger get his guys. We saw Granato get his guys.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see kind of the assistant coaches, how that kind of, you know, happens with the guys that Adams kept. You know, where do those guys go? And and with the other assistant coaches maybe getting brought in, hopefully a guy that can play the power play.
Yeah.
Coach the power play, excuse me.
Right, exactly, because the power play for the Sabres has been absolutely horrible for years and years and years. I think that might be the most talked about thing on this pod is the disgusting, disgusting power play of these teams. It's inexcusable at this point, where, you know, Jeff Skinner, that's our guy we like to hammer on here, 5-on-5 guy, you know, and here he is on the power play. Their power play doesn't move as well. They get to their spot and stay
stagnant
there. Yeah, where you see these successful power plays, it looks like a wheel in the cog, baby. It's just rolling around there, you know, like it does. They're moving around. It's they're rotating everywhere, and the Sabres just get to their spot and stay there, and it's easy to just stop what they're doing. And I think Lindy knows. I think he'll bring in the best guys possible on the coaching staff, and hopefully Matt Ellis just moves on. They fired the wrong video coordinator. Sorry, man.
Bad
like
fate.
We got the wrong guy.
Wrote the wrong name
down.
Yeah. But I think if Lindy, it's his teams are going to be excited to watch.
Mm-hmm.
His teams also always play with a lot of skill, a lot of rush.
Yeah.
I just think
the on-ice product will actually
be there. The on-ice product will improve. Having Lindy behind the bench will make fans want to come back. And
I want to see him get fired up at a ref again.
I mean,
let's start yelling.
Let's put it this
know?
Way.
Like, that's what
let's
I'm
put
ready
this way.
For.
The other two, he went to two losing franchises, Dallas and New Jersey, and were able to turn them around. And he turned the Sabres around. The question of Lindy has always been, you know, can he take the team to the quote-unquote, like, the next step behind that? But right now, the Sabres need this step.
Yeah.
And he's the perfect guy for this step.
Right.
So, you know, he might not be the guy to get them over the lifting the cup, but I think he's the perfect guy to get them into the playoffs, to get them a chance to lift the cup.
The prophecy would be fulfilled if he brought him to the cup. That's all I'm saying.
So, for me, I think the best assistance would be to put Abbott and then find someone out of the organization.
Yeah.
Abbott may be the heir in a couple
years. You're done with the hiring from within scheme?
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, Abbott technically is kind of a hire from within.
Yeah, but that's
coach,
different.
But that's,
yeah.
that's a little
mm-hmm.
different.
Yeah.
But yeah, Abbott, and then figure out someone, a new voice outside Lindy.
Yeah.
In the organization who can, listen, someone that can coach special teams, man. Special teams, special plays, special players.
Yes, brother. Here we go. But I'm excited. I'm actually excited.
But then I realized that, like, dang, we're like, in game two of the first round of the playoffs, like we have 6 months until he actually coaches a actual game, which is funny enough against New Jersey and Prague. So
it's gonna be a long off season with anticipation. I mean, last season kind of reminiscent for a different reason. They actually had an on-ice product at the end of last season.
It's a little different vibe. It's a different vibe, but I feel like
it's just as exciting.
This move has restored the vibes a little bit. Restored the vibes.
We're like half. The tank's half full.
It's like in Monsters, Inc. when, like, you get the Scream Factor and, like, you get...
Oh, we're throwing Monsters, Inc. here now.
We're
halfway
to the return.
Okay. We're not at laughing power yet. We're at Scream Power. Okay,
yeah.
I understand. Yes, the evil in the goat heads.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So...
Yes. Will we see... You know, what if Lindy pushes for those to be the full-time jerseys? I'm here for it. Slug alternate.
No
we're back,
slugs.
We're back to it right there. That's all I'm saying.
Get out of here with the slugs.
Yeah.
But...
No, I listen. It'll be interesting. We'll talk more about it. He's that press conference. We might get some clips for next time to just chat about the Sabres. We'll see. But what you got? You got your finger on.
I do have before we move on to the Bills, because it's funny that they made this news now, and then I guess maybe this is why they didn't wait a week to do the coaching search, because next week we're going to talk about the Bills and their draft. But I do have two Sabres stories to share.
All right.
One of them related to the news, not me involved. One semi-related, not really me involved.
Oh, I know what the second. I think I might know what the second one is.
The first one I'll share. My dad told me the story yesterday. It was funny. His law partner went to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Never goes. I should say never goes to the gym, because that sounds mean. But like, doesn't go to the gym very consistently. But just happened to wake up and be like, I'm going to go to the gym.
Uh-huh.
Gets out of the gym, walks to his car, sees someone, and says, hey, how is, you know, have a good day or whatever. And he's about to go into his car, and he goes, heck, that guy's like, I know who that is. Second thinks, he goes, oh my God, you're Lindy Ruff.
No way. It was him?
Yeah, a couple days ago.
No way.
And he said, and he asked him, he was like, hey, you coming back? And he goes, oh, you know, I really can't tell or whatever. But yeah, now his law partner's like, has his chest up high, and like,
oh, that's awesome.
The reason that Lindy's going back.
Look at that. But that's amazing. What a story.
That is. And then my second story, which is definitely not as cool, but I think it's cool. So as many of you guys know, I work mobile ticket team for the Bills at their events, and obviously Luke Combs was last weekend very cold.
Yeah, very cold. Believe me.
Rating on a scale of 1 to 10, because you actually went to the went to the concert. I listened to a little bit of it, but
okay. So like, we were tailgating from like 1 p.m. through. I didn't think it was going to be that cold. I was in like a flannel, right?
I told you it was freezing.
I know. I didn't heed the warning. So it was like one of those jacket flannels, though. Like, it was furry, like, sure, insulated. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it wasn't like it was just a shirt, but it was brisk. Like, when the sun went down, you're like, oh, man. And, you know, the Bills. Oh, too.
The voice too, crack. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Too much power to use to turn on those heaters, right? I mean, where I was sitting. So I was a little peeved by that.
Did you catch all the openers, or
no? I didn't go for the. I caught Mitchell Tenpenny, Jordan Davis, and Luke Combs, because those are the three I like know.
Out of like 1 to 10, how would you rate the three performances then?
Oh my God, they were like nines. Like
all of them were good.
Yeah, yeah, no, they were all fantastic. They had the whole stadium doing the shout song.
What were the best songs that the three played?
Mitchell Tenpenny. Actually, I shouldn't say I caught all of Mitchell Tenpenny. I caught the first like three songs, and I walked inside. I don't know the name of them. Like, I know Mitchell Tenpenny. Like, Drunk Me is a good one.
Yeah.
Pardon My Language, Bitches. That's another good one. But, you know, it's I didn't hear either. I heard those, but I wasn't like watching.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. But Jordan Davis, Almost Maybes, was good. Mm-hmm. But he had the camera guy come out who was from Buffalo, and he let him lead
sick.
The whole stadium did it. Dude, it was the vibes were there. I'm telling you, yeah. It was
maybe
crazy.
That got the vibes like another like red.
There we go. Lindy Ruff and the
Davis.
The shout chant.
And then Luke Combs.
Luke Combs out there, and you know, he's just phenomenal. That's an artist I can go to where I know every single one of his, you know, his songs, and he sounds just like the recording. Like, he's got a phenomenal voice. Yeah. And he was probably a 10, I would say.
So back where I was before we got completely distracted.
Sorry.
But I felt
cold. Yep. 9 out of 10. No, probably like
it
a
was
6
cold.
Out of 10 cold. But
it was cold. Yeah. So I usually work at gate 4. Gate 4, because of the construction now, is kind of just an overflow gate for gate 5.
Yeah.
They closed gate 4, so I moved over to 5. And it's me and one of the workers, and we're just kind of standing there like freezing our little tails off. And right around 8:30... who comes strolling in but Jack Quinn, Dylan Cousins, Bowen Byram, and it was funny, a couple of seconds after they walked in, Tyson Yost walked in. Like, he was like,
oh,
he was like a couple of strides behind them. Mm-hmm. They had a couple of significant others. They were really nice, because we said hello, because I don't know.
Well, I don't think they have room to have an ego
slight,
after last season.
Yeah,
so.
Slight fanboy moment. I wasn't going to like fist bump them or ask them for a picture, but I did say like, yeah, how's it going, guys? Have a good concert, whatever. But I was like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
they're Dylan Cousins is a tall guy, I gotta say.
Oh yeah,
I know he's 6'3", but I'm also 6'3". But like, I was like, dang, he looks taller than I am. But I had to look up Jack Quinn's height, because he didn't look as
he's got to be like 5'11", 6 foot,
six,
something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
he looks like a smaller guy.
Byram is Jack Quinn's 6 foot. That makes sense. Byram is small.
What's his height? 5'9"?
5'10". He's got to be a 5'10", 5'11", 6'1". I don't know about that. Yeah. He was small.
Who else is small? I'm trying to think. There's another guy. Benson? He's got to be tiny.
Benson's 5'9", I want to say.
Yeah.
So is Savoy.
Good. I get some representation at 5'9 on the Sabres. Love it.
Evertight.
Yeah.
For male.
Yeah. There we go.
But those are my two stories.
Yeah. Love it. Luke Combs was a great concert. If you were out there, the vibes are at Highmark Stadium. It was weird. That was my first non-Bills trip to the stadium. So it was like odd not to see like Bills stuff everywhere.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So
I was gonna say like, oh, about the Bills practice, but I was like, that's a practice.
Yeah, that's like the red and blue. It's still all Bills themed. They have the jumbotrons going.
You never went for like a tour or whatever? I guess that's kind of Bills.
It's still Bills related. Yeah. You know, this is like a whole event, 50,000 people with no Bills stuff inside.
True.
You know, so
except the hat that Luke Combs is wearing, but you know,
and the sweatshirt. He had a Bills logo on the sleeve. Listen, everyone's trashing on him. All right, I got to take it aside for a second. I know we're off the rails here. But everyone's trashing on all these artists, including Luke Combs specifically, that, oh, he's a Panthers fan, but he's wearing Bills stuff. I'm like, they play in NFL stadiums. Wherever they go, they wear the merch of the team that people support to get more support from the fans in the stands. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's not like, he's a Panthers fan. Sorry. I'd be wearing Bills stuff too if I was a Panthers fan. I'm going to be honest with you. You're not looking good right now. Adam Thielen was your best receiver, and he ate dog poop in the middle of the year. You know what I mean? So, whatever. That's my aside on that. But now, big news. The NFL draft's coming up tomorrow.
It's weird that you get to say it's a strange saying tomorrow, and it's like, dang it, this is actually here.
Yeah. We're recording on a Wednesday. You're going to hear it tonight. I'm going to, you know, get on my horse and get it out there for everybody. We did two mock drafts a couple weeks ago, two different scenarios, a trade-up, trade-down scenario. Takeaway was the trade-down scenario was kind of more liked by both of us. And the same grade, though. Both got B pluses, and we're in the top 80% of Bills, 70% of Bills draft, somewhere in there. So you know what that means. Day out from the draft, we're going to do one more. We're going to do one more, and we're going to let it happen here. Is there anything you specifically want to do, Dom, in this one that was different from the last one? Because
no,
we've done the two ends of the spectrum here. Do we want to go the middle ground, or what do we think of here?
I think what we should do is we should pause it after the second wide receiver gets taken and see if we want to trade up. If not... I say we just stay at 28, don't trade down, and do the 28 method.
All right. It's time to enter the draft. We're using PFF's draft board here, in case you're wondering. In case anyone drunk dials us and sends us some crazy picks like last time, remember? What did we trade away? It was only like a first and second round. Second round of next year, a couple, to get like pick 7 or something like that.
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Yeah, it would not have happened.
Unrealistic.
So we're gonna see if it happens here. We're going to start the draft. Bears are on the clock. Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Roma Dunze, Dallas Turner, Marvin Harrison Jr. I'll pause.
Wait, Roma Dunze went 4?
He went 4 to the Cardinals, and then Harrison Jr.
went 5?
Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama.
And
then J.J. McCarthy, Harrison Jr. And then...
What pick are we at?
We're at pick 11 right now. It moved quick.
Pause.
We're paused. It's done.
Yeah. Did Neighbors get picked?
Malik Neighbors went 9 to the Bears. Do we want to trade up here?
No.
I
was just thinking of
pick at 28.
Just go to 28.
Okay, resume draft. We're going to pick 28.
I don't know if I would be. I think a Dunze. I like Neighbors. I mean, we drafted Neighbors.
All right, I sped it up. We're at 28. We're on the clock. Let's go wide. Let's go wide receivers and see. I hope the draft actually goes that fast. That'd be phenomenal, but it won't.
Listen, it's projected that
Adonai Mitchell is available at 28.
If the Bills stay at 28, it's projected around 11:30 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is trash.
Yeah, that's wild. I'll be working too, so that'll be a lot.
It'd
of fun.
It'd be worse they traded out of that, like at that moment too. I was like, "Damn!"
Yeah,
until 11:30, and my dad's gonna be mad that I said, "Damn," but whatever.
Yikes.
Whatever.
So we have on the board wide receiver wise: A.D. Mitchell, Troy Franklin, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall, Jalen Polk, Xavier Leggett. What do you think?
I mean, I personally in this did Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
Who? Which wide receivers?
I'm gonna scroll through.
Just which wide receiver? Thomas must have won.
So Dunze, Harrison Jr., Neighbors. We have Brian Thomas Jr. went to the Colts at pick 15. Mm. And that's it.
Oh, Xavier Worthy still available?
Let's see, where is he? Yeah, I'm not seeing him on here. Let me search.
So
yeah, Xavier Worthy's available.
I personally would trade down.
Yeah,
but
I mean.
for the sake of this mock, because we want to stay 28.
Being different.
And for the sake of being marginally realistic, because they're, I guess, I, you know what, I can't play the, oh, I think every rumor is BS and then do this, but whatever. There's been rumors out there that this the Bills have done a lot of work recently on Xavier Worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And he has breakneck speed. I think he's not really the true X outside.
No.
True outside.
But talk about creating separation.
He could play both vertical and that. Those Texas receivers scared the crap out of me because that system was weird.
Mm-hmm.
But screw it. Let's take Xavier Worthy right here. Because I think it seems like if there's smoke with the Bills, that's their top target.
Yeah. I don't know. Xavier Worthy has been drafted by the Buffalo Bills at pick 28 of the 2024 NFL mock draft on the Buffalonian podcast. Not mock draft 3.0.
So we just stay in should we just stay packed on every pick?
Yeah, just stay pick 60.
The no trade scenario.
Yeah, no trade scenario, even though that might not happen. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. But
there might be like small moves, but
we just so happen to be on the clock at pick 60.
I forgot that you have it all the way up.
No, it's not all the way up. It's about halfway.
I was waiting for like, I was like, what's it called? Filler time?
Yeah, no. Yeah, we're trying to, you know, cut the time between a little bit here. What do we want to pick here? What are we thinking? Like,
so
we got Xavier Worthy.
I guess what wide receivers are available?
Let's see. Can the train keep going?
This is why also.
Devontae Walker.
This is also why I really enjoy the trade down scenario because we don't have a third round pick.
Yeah.
Now
we're going to go an entire.
We're going to go like 100 picks.
60 to 128.
Picks. Yeah.
Who's
the best available on the the best available, I should say, first?
Corley. From Western Kentucky, Milwaukee, I believe.
The end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh no, that's a wide receiver. You want the whole thing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Do you want wide receivers or all available?
Just do all available right now. My bad.
Okay.
I just want to see what the boards look like.
Blake,
all available.
Blake Corum.
Nope.
Jaden Hicks. Excuse me. Safety out of Washington State. Jonah Ellis. I'm not even gonna. A tackle from Yale. I'm not even saying that name. Chris Braswell. Edrin Cooper from Texas A&M, Christian Haynes, Connecticut, guard, Neyland, edge rusher from Western Michigan, Brandon Coleman, tackle out of TCU.
I think
Devontae Walker.
I think taking the safety out of Washington State is probably the move.
Jaden Hicks out of Washington State?
Yeah, he's a solid safety.
Okay. He's been picked at pick 60 for the Bills. Here we go.
Again, this is why this is so far. I'm gonna say it. I like our trade down mock.
The trade down. Listen, the trade up. You sell a little bit more than what we would have sold. Let's be realistic on that last one. We're on the clock again at 128.
All right. So who's available?
So BPA right now. Notre Dame running back Estime. Wide receiver Brendan Rice out of USC.
Mm-hmm.
Eichenberg, linebacker out of Ohio State.
Nope.
Cole Bishop, safety out of Utah.
Picked a safety, so we're good.
Yeah. Brownlee Jr., cornerback, Louisville.
Okay.
Louisville. Dwayne Carter, interior defensive line, Duke. Marist.
What pick are we next? 133?
133. It's a quick turnaround. Yeah.
So it's who is Brendan Rice? Fudge.
Yeah, Brendan Rice, wide receiver out of USC. You want to see the wide receiver room?
See the wide receivers. I want to see if like there's like another name behind that.
Isaiah Williams, Luke McCaffrey. That's Christian McCaffrey's brother, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Cornelius Johnson, Marcus Roseme, Jack Saint.
Take Brendan Rice. I don't like the other
Brendan
names.
Rice. Yeah. Okay, we drafted him. Got two wide receivers. We're back on the clock.
Is Carter available?
Carter. Let's see. Dwayne Carter, out of Duke.
Yeah,
he's available.
Oh my God, dude, you slow played that.
Yeah.
So
hard. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah, we're drafting Dwayne Carter. Yeah. There we go.
As a D lineman.
Yep. All right, we have we're back on the clock at 144 right now.
We got the safety. I'd like the double dip and wide receiver. I like Carter as kind of is he under an edge there or is he interior?
I believe he was edge. Let me double check.
He's the kind of guy that can play both, so I think that's a good move.
Yeah, he's no defensive interior actually.
Yeah,
so he
can play a little edge, but that's kind of like your pro.
Do we go cornerback with Cam Hart from Notre Dame right here?
Who's the best available?
Best of BPA in general.
Yeah.
Cole Bishop, safety out of Utah. It's all wide receivers. Halfback, Will Shipley out of Clemson.
Nope.
Cornelius Johnson, Michigan wide receiver.
Nope.
Edge rusher, Gabriel Murphy out of UCLA. Cedric Gray, linebacker out of North Carolina.
Let's take Gabe Murphy. I think he's a nice edge.
Gabe Murphy. Okay.
Let's buff up the D line.
Yep. There we go. All right. 9876543-21. We're back on the clock here.
All right. Best player available.
BPA. Dallin Holker, tight end. No. Right. I mean.
No.
I was gonna say. I was like, we drafted one last year, and you got Knox and Morris. Still, there's no need for that. Tyler Davis, interior defensive line out of Clemson. Rex Ryan pick right there. Clemson guy.
Not D lineman, we're good.
Let's see.
I think we're good in the D line. I think right now
I kind of cornerback. Is that something we should grab? You think?
I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. We drafted two wide receivers. It seems to me, how many picks we got left?
We have this 160, this one 163, 200, 204, 248.
Dang, so we have five. So it seems to me that eventually we had to grab a running back, grab a linebacker, grab a corner. Grab a tackle.
We can just get Frank Gore Jr. like we did in the other ones.
So, no, not right now. Who's the best available? I'm sorry.
BPA right now.
Who's the best cornerback available?
Best cornerback available is Richardson, cornerback out of Mississippi State, and then Kamal Hayden, cornerback out of Tennessee. Kalen King out of Penn State. Josh Newton out of TCU. Elijah Jones, Boston College. Ryan Watts, Texas. Josh Wallace, Michigan.
Kalen King's kind of falling because he had a bad stuff.
Yeah.
Who's the best player available?
In general?
Yeah.
Holker, tight end out of Colorado. And Tyler Davis, interior defensive line out of Clemson.
Joe, drop it a little bit down. Sorry. Like those guys.
JD Bertrand, linebacker out of Notre Dame.
Let's take him.
Take him?
Yeah.
Okay. Bertrand. And we're back on the clock here. Quick.
You take a pick a corner.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Who are you taking?
I gotta look. We gotta see who's available still.
Click on them? Like, can you click on their info?
I can a little bit. Yeah. It's just there. We go. Okay. Overall grade. I kind of like. I guess.
Does it give a description?
Yeah, it gives them the overall grade. He's Richardson. I'm looking at Richardson out of Mississippi State. His grade has gone up over the past 3 years consistently. Passer ratings. I mean, snaps. He had 720 snaps as a cornerback. I'm going to draft him. Yeah.
Take him.
Solid cornerback right there.
Solid corner.
And who knows? He might play better than Kyrie Elam. And he was a first round
pick.
So
what pick are we next?
We're pick 200 next, and we're five away from it.
All right.
So now.
What is the tackle situation?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Okay. OT. Ethan Driscoll.
Actually, I got a funny thing. What's the quarterback situation looking like?
Okay, hang on. There we go. Joe Milton III.
Take him.
Take him?
Yeah.
You want to take Joe Milton?
Yes. Yes.
Just for the cannon?
Yes.
He's going to be our punter if Martin goes down again or whatever?
Yeah. Take Joe Milton.
Okay, Milton's drafted. We're back on 204.
All right, now let me see those running backs.
Okay. Into the running back room we go. Rasheen Ali out of Marshall. Dylan Laub out of New Hampshire. McClellan out of Alabama. Johnson out of Washington.
Take McClellan out of Alabama.
I like McClellan a lot, actually, at that pick. All right, we're back on the clock in 30 picks. And they're moving quick.
This
15.
One kind of could take over you want because we're 240 deep. But maybe if we could see if there's a tackle available that we like.
Should we go special team, special plays, special players here just for poops?
You want to draft a punter?
Yeah.
Yeah, just draft the best available punter.
Okay.
I don't know. Who's available?
Honestly, that might not be the worst move.
Who's available a punter?
Let's see. I got to go to P.
Probably going to kill our grade because.
There's two available.
Okay, who are
Ryan Reckow out of BYU and McNamara out of Texas Tech.
Let's just take the B-boy. Let's take the Mormon.
All right. We have... Oh, we're analyzing the draft here.
I feel like this is...
Let's see. Xavier Worthy was a D- to start the draft.
Dang. What level is... What?
We got a B-. We're in the top 91% of Bill's drafts overall, though.
Dang. D-.
The next three picks were A-, and B+.
Okay, give us the breakdown.
Okay, Xavier Worthy... You can see this on our socials, by the way. I'm going to throw this one out there. Xavier Worthy, D-.
Can you give me the – do they have, like, the position, like, rank he has or, like – well, actually.
Yeah, number 69 is Xavier Worthy.
That would be a reach.
Yeah, but that's a trade – that in the trade-down scenario, though, you'd be able to take him at that point. You know what I'm saying?
I went down to 36, so it's still –
Do you think he'd get taken before that?
I mean, yeah. I think there's smoke, there's fire, so.
Yeah. So then we took Jaden Hicks at number his big board rating is number 54. That was an A grade at 60. Yeah. Brendan Rice, number 125. We picked him at 128. So A minus there. Dwayne Carter, 136. We picked him at 133, B plus. Those are some solid picks. Gabriel Murphy, 149 on the big board, 144. We picked him. C plus. I don't know why we got the C plus on that one.
Because they don't think edge is as big as need is.
Yeah. Right. Well, defensive interior at that point. But Gabriel Murphy, we 140, or we just did that one.
Yeah, sorry.
JD Bertrand, 175. We picked him at 160, B minus. Not bad. Linebacker. Richardson, Mississippi State, the cornerback, 166. We picked him at 163, B plus. We're looking pretty. This was all right. Joe Milton the third. We got a D plus on number 217 on the big board, 200 on our pick. Honestly, only 17 picks off. Not that bad in the scenario. Jace McClellan, the running back out of Alabama, number 208. We picked him at 204, C plus. And the punter, we got a C plus on 289 on the big board, 248 on our pick, C plus. Top 91% of Bills drafts, overall draft grade B minus. One of our better – that's the highest percentage of Bills drafts we've gotten.
I don't think that's good, though.
Oh, no, that's actually bad. I've been thinking about it the opposite. Yeah. That's actually way worse.
Yeah.
We're on the back end of that.
But I don't think a B minus is necessarily – I mean, listen, it's PFF. I think – I guess I look at it from the perspective of – I think we got some D-line depth. I think we got some wide receiver depth. We got maybe a guy that could be a game changer for speed and worthy. Hicks is kind of could be a plug and play safety right away with kind of that trio of him, Rapp, and Edwards. Everyone else is kind of fighting for a roster spot, I think, after the Murphy pick.
Yeah.
Maybe Stevenson could develop into something. Bertrand could be kind of that Matakavage kind of replacement as well. And Milton's maybe pushes Trubisky for that backup spot.
Yep.
Obviously, there's been rumors that he might have to transition to tight end, but. No, I like it.
Yeah. This mock draft, 3.0, is going to go up with the other two.
Now,
so we can see all ends of the spectrum here. Trading up, trading down, staying at 28.
Now, out of the other two, I don't know how much you remember.
I can pull them up if we really have to.
Yeah, pull them up real quick. Mm-hmm. I remember a little bit of them. I have to say I still think the trade down
is the best one.
I think this one's the worst one because...
You're kind of limited.
I don't like the fact that we... I mean, again, we didn't do any trades this time, so I think that's maybe a little different, but not the biggest fan of the draft. I mean, I do like that we got the safety at Hicks at 60. I think that's actually a good pick on our end. Worthy is kind of, again, we kind of picked that because of the rumor vibes. I don't know if that's specifically who I would take if I was the GM. Because
when we traded down, we ended up with Ladd McConkey and Javon Baker.
Yeah.
Right back to back. And then Braylon Trice, Cole Bishop, Cam Hart, Tyler. Like, it was a better, you had better picks. All of our picks there were... A, B plus, B, A minus, B, A minus. Like, we had better picks at the position.
Again, that's also grading for PFL, so it's not a perfect science.
Right, it's not a perfect science, but you know what I'm saying. Like, we got better value for these guys, you know, by trading down. And Ladd McConkey, Javon Baker, I'd be happy if the Bills did that tomorrow. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or it would be Friday. I'm telling you, if I'm working and they trade out and we're there waiting for pick 28, I'm going to lose my mind, but it's okay. It's okay, because guess what? If they end up with Ladd McConkey and Javon Baker on the second day, I'm more than content with that. I'm fine.
I'm pretty content with all three of our drafts.
Yeah. I mean, if the Bills – this is our first stint in mock drafts. We didn't do one last year. So
we're still a little rookie-ish.
Still a little rookie-ish, but this might be something we continue to do throughout the show's tenure here and keep going. Because, listen, it's interesting here because now you've seen all three ends of the spectrum. You will, too. Again, on the social medias, we're going to throw all three of them out there for you. So you can compare. Let us know which one you like more. I have a feeling a lot of Buffalonians are in like mind with us. And There are some gung-ho. Don't get me wrong.
I just feel like this one that we did was 3 out of 3 because I think people are going to be mad that we picked Worthy. But I think it's just, again, kind of the rumor mill. I don't know if it's necessarily like, I mean, A.D. Mitchell's on the board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
McConkey was on the
board.
The
type 1 diabetes thing kind of scares me a little bit because that's kind of... I don't know. That seems a little.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's tough. You can definitely
play
with it.
It's tough for the player,
but yeah.
Mm-hmm. That kind of scares me off. I'm not going a little bit, but I think at 28, I mean, even Leggett, I think, was a reach. And I think Leggett's like 60.
Yeah. McConkey would have been the one I was most comfortable with taking at 28. I'd be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm okay taking the jump on Worthy with the speed he showed and everything. Yeah, the gamble. So, listen, it'll be interesting. We'll talk all about it.
Okay, so I guess because we're about to end in 2 seconds, I have to do our little thing. But yeah. I had asked, like, see, and I like two questions because I don't want to, like, ask you and put you on the spot, but I guess I will. Do the Bills pick at 28? Yes or no?
No.
I think they agreement.
I'm 100% think they Brandon Bean will trade out of the first round.
You think they're going to trade out?
Yeah. I want to say it's so tough. Like, I want to give you, like, I'm so split on what Brandon Bean's thinking because he might go up and trade for that guy, right? He might go up and try and get that Harrison Jr., but then you got to sell the house, right? Like, that's kind of where I'm like, I'd rather see them trade down, but I don't know. Like, I'm kind of in limbo here on what's actually going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I think more likely they trade down, but he said that last year, and then they traded up.
Yeah. It's when Josh Allen's on the phone with you saying Dalton Kincaid, no matter what. I mean, you kind of have to make it happen. So
I get this is a better question than saying, oh, who are they going to pick if they stay at 28? What position are they going to pick?
Wide receiver.
First pick.
Do not say defensive line or anything like that.
I think there's some real smoke behind interior defensive tackle of that. what's his name? It's not Johnny Newton. Is that how you say it? Johnny Newton?
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Defensive tackle from Illinois. I just think if he's available at 28, that might be too good a value to pass up. So I think there's a little smoke there. But I'll go a few wide receiver. I'll go mainstream. And then do you have
a pick at 28, per se?
A specific guy who you want.
If are we staying at pick 28 or just in general? Who's the first
in the
pick?
Area.
All right, Ladd McConkey. That's who I think.
You want Ladd.
Yeah, I don't want Xavier Leggett. I want Ladd McConkey. I think he'd be a good fit. He'd be a good fit.
I'll take
me.
Leggett.
Yeah?
I don't know. I'm not that afraid of the four-year kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like waiting for his fifth year to break out. I think that's kind of whatever.
It's not the biggest deal.
He definitely has some flaws, but
I think McConkey's got some good route running ability.
Yak in the big,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so it'll be interesting.
I'll end on this question before I say my thing. I know we're going along. But which, I guess you did already say that if they didn't pick a non-wide receiver, you'd be pissed, right?
Yeah. Okay. A little bit. Because it's been like, can you pick offense for once kind of thing?
Is there any wide receiver that they would take where you'd be like, damn, I didn't want them to do that? I guess I said damn again. Mm. Like, is there any wide receiver in the first pick, their first pick, that's like, I don't know if I want to do that? I think mine's A.D. Mitchell. I'm sorry. I think the type 1 diabetes.
Brian Thomas Jr.
Whoa.
Yeah. I've heard interesting things where people are kind of out on him, and I maybe it depends on where they trade for him, right?
So,
at 28, if you can grab Brian Thomas Jr., take him.
I mean, you were wrong on the Lindy thing for being a hater. Your hater for Brian Thomas means you, they're gonna be
the
Ryan.
Hater is the strong term here. I'm not like a hater. All I'm saying is, like, if you trade up, right, a little bit to like pick 20.
I'm on that. Yeah, that's a stupid idea.
No, I'm not doing that. Yeah. You know, like, that's where I'll be frustrated.
If you're gonna half do it, that, do it all in.
I'm not frustrated. I'm not a hater of Brian Thomas Jr., but it's like you're trading up 8 picks to just grab him. No, like, if you're gonna trade up. Like, that's where
for
I'm
the
at.
Top three. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So
yeah. Sorry, I set the world on fire there for a second. No. But
so I guess now is, well, I can't believe this is our last Bills. We're concluding our last Bills talk before the draft. That's kind of just
crazy. Moves quick.
It doesn't.
No.
And now in the last week, the last 2 weeks, sure.
Mm-hmm.
The months after that wide right, no.
Wide right 2.0?
Right 2.0. But so to end the pod as we normally do now, kind of, I think we're
couple weeks in.
A month in?
Month in.
Fifth,
4 weeks. Yeah, fifth. This is the... We're on the...
Fifth installment?
We're starting the rotation over again. Because we've gone through the rotation.
Well, like twice we have.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh.
The month. The month rotation is over.
I understand. It took me a second to process what you were saying.
Okay.
Because I'm silly, but... So...
what you got?
My take. Because I might get calm for this.
Okay.
I think
we say that every week, and then it's like
normal. I definitely think I'm gonna get clowned for this.
Okay, producer, are you in on this too?
I think Mooch is gonna, the producer is gonna clown me for this, but I'm gonna say it. I'm not even going to say I'm the biggest NBA fan, but I think a good NBA basketball game is better than a good NHL game in the playoffs. I'm just going to say it.
See, I don't watch enough basketball to really have an opinion on that. I'm going to be honest.
I
watch more hockey than anything.
I watched the Lakers-Denver game two, mm-hmm. the buzzer beater, and that was a fantastic game. And
do you like the play-in style tournament like that?
I do.
Yeah?
I do think it adds a little
intrigue. It's interesting. When, you know, Golden State, like those games, I did watch a little bit of the play-in games.
It adds a little kick to it,
yeah.
No, I just think a good NBA game, playoff game, is better than a good NHL playoff game, because I think a problem with the NHL is most of their good games go into overtime, mm-hmm. and then when you play the 20-minute period overtime, you don't know when they're going to end. And listen, I'm saying this from a perspective of a completely neutral observer, because the Sabres haven't been in the playoffs in 13 years.
Yeah,
so
right, yeah.
It's not like I'm like, oh my god, the Sabres game. Like,
no.
And my NBA team, the Blazers, shout out to them, 21-61, tanking in a historically bad draft class, of course.
Yeah.
But so I'm like completely dead neutral, but I don't know. I don't know if it's more the bias that I have, but I generally enjoy watching basketball maybe a little bit more than hockey. I find hockey at times to be a little boring.
Yeah.
At times. It's a little soccerish for me at times. Like,
I mean, it is soccer. Just take the number of men on the field down, make it ice, and put them on skates, and you're about there. So, and put stick in their hand with a puck.
Now you're like making a lot of changes, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the concept's relatively similar.
No, sure.
You know?
I guess that's my thing. Like, I just think, I don't know.
Listen, I wish I could have more of an opinion on it. I don't watch NBA basketball.
So you're more of like, you'd rather watch a good hockey.
Right, because
you had the choice.
I'm just more of a hockey fan, I guess. Like, nothing against basketball. Like, I think it's a fun sport. I mean, we played a house league together way back in the day. March Madness, I tune into the whole thing. I enjoy. But, like, a whole NBA season, I'm not invested enough in to really care about the playoffs. So I can't really opinionate myself on this. But, of course, I'm going to pick the hockey game because that's what I watch.
Producer, would you like to include your opinion? Right hand for NBA, left hand for NHL.
That's a right hand. Our left, his right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. NBA.
NBA. I thought the producer
let
was
us know
screaming.
What you think, because it's the height of both right now. So, you know, that's a good one. So
I think you can make the case that the NHL playoffs are better because the games, I just think the teams are more competitive.
Right.
Sure.
But game by game.
But if we're talking individual game versus game,
yeah,
the best NBA games, I think, outweigh the best NHL games.
Mm-hmm.
Just from the perspective of, again, the NBA kind of has that nonstop action. It kind of has like that. And even if it goes into overtime, it's 5 minutes. It's quick. And usually it ends in the first overtime. NHL, like, the Panthers-Hurricanes played like four overtimes. And
yeah.
By the second overtime, then you're like, it's 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
this game's over.
Yeah,
like,
wrap it up. You're throwing the hand in the air.
Again,
doing
not
this.
Involved
yeah.
either way. So it's like, I'm not betting on the games. Or
right. I mean, if the Sabres yeah. went three overtimes, I'd be ecstatic.
On my
mind.
Yeah,
I'd be up till 2
in
the morning.
I had to get a change of shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd be running around the block for 3 hours after the
game.
Trying
to dry off.
Yeah,
yeah,
right. Yeah. So listen, it's
yeah,
just
moist pits.
It's
yeah.
definitely we're the non-biased crowd in Buffalo about the NHL playoffs.
Oh, how could we not be biased?
Yeah. Right. Years. Yeah. Well, let us know what you think. That might change with Lindy Ruff on staff. Who knows? We'll see. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Buffalonian Podcast. Went long today preparing for the draft, talking about Lindy Ruff, a lot of good stuff. Let us know what you all think. And you can check out our mock drafts on our social medias. That'll be up later today before the draft. Dom? How do we always end these? Thank you to our producer, by the way. Much appreciated for everything you do. Sorry, I'm all over the place. It's been a long one. Dom, how do we always end these, buddy?
Go Bills.
Go Bills.